When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. I constantly hear from people that they can't lose weight. The diets don't work. Nothing works. They're born fat. And this is just absolutely not true. And I wanted to be able to help everyone discover the best way for them to lose weight. And I discovered that the best way to do that was to build an app that personalizes your experience in order to get you in the best shape of your life. No matter what level you're starting at, no matter what your dietary restrictions, no matter what your physical limitations, no matter what your level of fitness, I can build a personalized program that will help you reach your goals once and for all. There's a reason that my app has over 4,000 five-star reviews and countless success stories from people who used the MyFitness app to achieve their goals. You already know I know what I'm doing, and that's why you're listening to this show. So you know what? Try it for free for 7 days. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes or just visit JillianMichaels.com.
Hello, Cindy.
Hello there, Jillian.
Jake, are you going to chime in or?
Good afternoon, morning, wherever you're listening to this.
I was going to say, you don't know what time of day it is for our listeners.
Happy 3 a.m. because you can't sleep
midnight.
And you just wanted to hear our voice.
That's true. I do
right.
Listen to podcasts at 3 a.m. Oh,
really?
I'm so sorry if it's 3 a.m. for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the Neil deGrasse Tyson one a lot.
Ah.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I wouldn't listen to us at 3 a.m. We're far too fascinating.
Yeah, you're not going to fall asleep. You better.
Oh, you're definitely
you
falling
on
asleep.
Over to
You'll
Joe
be so
Rogan
riveted.
I know Joe Rogan. I know. Yeah, everybody loves his.
Yawn.
I know, right, Joe Rogan? Who? Only the number one leg podcast.
Have you ever tried DMT, bro?
Oh my God, he goes all in though. That guy, he's like literally for a segment, he'll do like a diet for 30 days and track it. Like he's just an animal. He goes
wow.
all
I think,
in.
I think he just finished eating only
the
meat.
The carnivore diet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said he had like diarrhea for like 2 weeks. What a gangster! The guy wouldn't make it past day one of that. I'd be like, yeah, this is a hard pass for me,
yeah.
guys. A hard pass. Yeah, the explosive diarrhea, like, I'm out on the carnivore diet. But he's like, no, I'm doing this.
Wow.
Like, whoever this guy dates or if he's married, I don't know, but my heart goes out to you. You're a good woman. Jeez. All right. Something I want to talk about.
Yes.
Oh,
something
God.
On your mind.
This has to stop. So, There was an, these are credible news sources. So there was something in, well, sort of. There was something in the, oh my God, the media nowadays, like they don't do, they literally don't do any vetting. It's crazy. They just want clickbait, as we all know. And there was an article in the Huffington Post that was like six reasons or some reasons like calorie counting doesn't work, so why do we do it? And I was like, oh my God, this is a lie. This is a crazy lie. This is just not the truth. And it ended up being more about the psychology of it for her, how the psychology of the scale or tracking calories made her mentally nuts. Mm. And I was like, okay, but that's a different conversation. Because here's the issue that I'm looking at, right? I've got people coming to me telling me diets don't work. I can't lose weight. I can't lose weight. I can't lose weight. So then they go and they try all this other crazy shit like HCG, hormone injections, 500 calorie crashes, eating 500 calories for 2 days. And then, you know, like, because this intermittent fasting, the 8-16, it's also 5-2, like 2 days where you eat nothing and 5 days where you go crazy. Like, this stuff is nuts. This is not good. And that's where we do need to bring it back to simple science of counting calories. Counting calories just means you eat less, you move more, and this is how you know you are, in fact, doing that, is by tracking what's going in and what's going out. If you can't do that and you're lost and you don't understand the simple science of that, then you are going to think, oh, this isn't working, right? This isn't working for me. But if it's making you mental, right? So this is where the psychology and the personalization is going to become an issue, because I've said it about fitness and I've said it about food, where I can sit here and tell you the most effective techniques for fat burning. I mean, there's science behind this, right? It's like, oh, HIIT training, resistance training, heavy weights, multiple muscle groups, compound exercise, free weights, calisthenics, plyometrics. Like, I can give you all this stuff. I create those workouts. However, if you are like, oh my God, I would rather be dead than do 30 minutes of gargling my heart with Jillian Michaels, like, okay. You know, and you're like, I just want to like go for a hike with my dog. I'll take it. You know why? Like, I don't care if you take my brand of eat less or move more. I've got enough money. I'm doing fine. I care that you're eating less and moving more if you need to lose weight so you get the results you're after. I care that you're watching your food consumption and you're moving more to manage your overall health and improve the quality of your life. But I respect that. Like, if you're like, I just won't do it, Jill, like that might be the most effective, yeah, but I'm not going to do it. Well, then it's not going to be the most effective for you. So it's like same with nutrition. Like, I can tell you, hey, here's, you know, on a diet, like, don't overeat. Definitely don't eat chemicals and processed foods as much as you can avoid them. And I personally believe in a more Mediterranean diet, mostly plants, like omnivore, right? Like, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated fats have proven to be the healthiest for us in study after study after study, which is how Mediterranean always goes to the top of the list, right? It's low in saturated fats. It's got complex carbohydrates. It, you know, it's got the beans, the legumes. It's got the nuts. It's like got veggies. Like, it's a nice balance. It's got all three macronutrients. And it's got the best forms of those macronutrients, which is why it always wins. Mm. I don't have any stock in it. I don't even know if you can buy stock in it. I didn't write the book. I take no credit. I didn't create it. It's just a very good example of that basic information. To me, based on everything I've ever read. And by the way, if you told me right now, like, oh, Jill, you'll live to 150 eating donkey balls, I'd be like, oh, guys, we're on the donkey ball diet. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be the best. I want to live the best and feel the best and have the best quality of life. So if you tell me, yeah, but I'm vegan, I am not doing animal protein, I would say to you everything I have said, like, all right, you know, look, these are the, we, okay, you're going to miss some collagen. You're going to miss that third omega-3, and know the vegetable sources don't convert into that one at the rate we need or the amount that we need, blah, 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 blah. I give you all the things I've told you on the show before. But I would do my best to say, all right, you're going to need to supplement this. You're going to need to supplement that. Like, hey, can we get some eggs from a friend who has chickens? You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to do it. There's a reason there's a vegan meal plan in my app. There's a reason there's a pescatarian meal plan. There's a reason there's a gluten-free meal plan. There's a reason there's a keto meal plan created by a doctor that's recommended for 30 days only and is predominantly plant-based. But that's because I'm like, all right, I can tell you what I think is the best. I can tell you what I've researched and believe is the best. But if you are like, nah, I'm vegan, I'm not, that's a religion. I can tell you why I don't think it's the best, but I'm still going to give you what you need to be successful. So now, though, we're getting into, well, counting calories doesn't work for me because I have issues, body image issues, eating disorders, X, Y, and Z. That's okay. But you can't, like, calorie counting doesn't work. Yes, it does. It is the science of what, yes, it is. It's an energy equation. Yes, it does. So you can't say that.
Do you think people jump on that when they're also not taking into account their workouts, their movement, their,
this,
oh, I'm
seeing
plateau,
a lot of, I used to be bulimic. I used to do this. Yeah, yeah. I used to make me insane. I used to torture me. And my answer is, okay, I get that it's triggering you psychologically, but you can't say in a headline it doesn't work, because you're leading people to things that are dangerous. It does work, and some people need to lose weight, and that is how they need to do it. So if you're one of those people that's like, yeah, but it triggers me, oh, okay. So you need to understand, though, like, hey, if we want to lose weight, if you're wanting to lose weight, which is like, it doesn't work, well, I mean, it does if you're trying to lose weight. That's the whole point. So don't get on the scale every week if it makes you insane.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're working with somebody, have them look at the scale. Like, I used to do that with a certain clients. I would look once a week. So I know that what I might tweak things. I'd be like, okay, you know what? This is not working. You know, what are we doing? Like, can you give me an idea of what you've been eating? And I mean, but the reality is, it's kind of like being in a ship with no compass.
Yeah.
Well, the instruments are off. And it's like, you don't need to get obsessive, but you are going to need to find a way where move more. And then it's like, well, I eat till I'm full. Well, I mean, that's complicated, right? Because I'm eating healthy. That, you know how many times I've heard that? So I totally understand that if you've got mental issues, this is making you feel triggered, but you can't deny the science of it.
Well, you have to kind of know your body, know yourself, know your mindset, and adjust accordingly, because, yeah, you're right. If looking at your weight on the scale is going to completely just devastate you.
Use your pants. Use a before and after picture, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are many other things we can do, but you can't deny science.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the part where it's like, oh, God. And it's like, that's the part that I'm struggling with, because someone's going to read that headline and be like, yeah, see, I'm so confused. Calorie counting doesn't work.
Or
it's on the Huffington Post.
Or they're going to look at it and say, ah, good, now I don't have to count calories. But they don't take into, like, then what?
I mean, she does be
what's the adjustment?
Well, loosely, we know that you do have to eat a bit less and move a bit more. And it's like, but girl, how do they know what they're supposed to eat or what it even looks like?
I mean, if
they don't get an idea, like, wouldn't you want to know, oh, wait a second, you know, this slice of bread has 120 and this slice has 80.
Well, and also when I see things like,
I mean,
a meal that it's and it says it's 900 calories, my first thought is, oh, dear God, what's in it?
Right. Exactly.
That's my thing. I mean,
I understand, but this is just simple information. If the information is triggering you, you got to find another way to manage that simple science of eating better, managing how much you're taking in, and moving a bit more. But you can't say calorie counting doesn't work, so why do we do it?
Third Love believe that every woman deserves to feel comfortable and confident every day. And with the right kind of support, they help her do this. My Third Love bras are not only super comfortable, but they fit me like no other bra I've ever tried. And that's probably because they don't just create new sizes by scaling their existing measurements up or down. Instead, Third Love fits each new cup on at least 20 different women with 20 different body types and breast shapes to make sure their new styles are as beautiful and comfortable at an I cup as they are at an A. And with Third Love's Perfect Fit promise, you have 60 days to try it out. Returns and exchanges are free. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Just go to thirdlove.com/Jillian to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Jillian for 15% off today. thirdlove.com/Jillian. Did you know that a lot of conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating? Yikes. Well, Native doesn't use aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's vegan, and it's never tested on animals, and that is all incredibly important to me. Instead, Native deodorant uses ingredients you know, like coconut oil and shea butter. And guys, it actually works. I love the coconut vanilla, but they also have lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and a bunch of others, including unscented and baking soda free for those of you with sensitivities. So there are plenty of options for women, men, and teens. You even get free shipping on every order and 30-day free returns and exchanges in the U.S. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code Jillian at checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com, promo code Jillian for 20% off your first purchase. nativedeodorant.com, promo code Jillian.
Hey, we have a return guest.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Somebody agreed to come back here.
Somebody did.
Somebody awesome, guys.
We have licensed addiction to eating disorder therapist Molly Carmel, who was also the author of Breaking Up with Sugar. We had her on the show, I guess it was like last month or 2 months ago at this point. Yeah.
You guys, speaking of, hi, Molly. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to be here. Love being a return guest. Very exciting.
Well, thank you for doing that. We have a lot of questions, as you know, for you. But I just want to say to everybody, get the book Breaking Up with Sugar. It's fantastic. I literally tore through it. It's just an incredible read, and it will help you truly understand how and why we get addicted to sugar and give you real strong strategies and techniques to stop. To break up with sugar, as you said very, very perfectly in your book title. Okay, I need to jump right in. So, Molly, we have some email questions for you from listeners, as you know. But I am seeing more and more, personally seeing, that when I'll talk about, hey, guys, like beauty, eye of the beholder, fantastic. Everybody's worthy. Everybody's valuable. Everybody's awesome. However, you know, obesity is not healthy. I'm getting a lot of, I was bulimic and now I'm not, as though it's like, well, my only alternative to bulimia is obesity, or this is my solution. And in my mind, and this is where I'm like, Jesus, I am not an expert in this. But on my mind, I'm like, okay, but isn't obesity an eating disorder unto itself? Because we're still using food to cope. Or am I, like, can you explain, like, what even, help me? Like, what is even classified as an eating disorder?
Yeah, so
there's so much. I don't even get it. It's not. Okay.
It's not. It's you know, medical diagnosis, but it's not an eating disorder. And the closest thing, I mean, and so binge eating disorder
okay.
is an eating disorder.
Got it.
However, not all people with binge eating disorders are overweight, right?
Right.
And not all.
Right. Okay.
People will say that not all people, not all overweight people have binge eating disorder. So
right.
it's a tricky part of town.
Wow.
It's a tricky part of town. I mean, and you know better than anyone, my brave friend.
Right. No, but
it's a tricky part of town.
I'm trying to understand it, because all I'm trying to say is, like, hey, guys, like, it's okay. You know, everybody has issues, right? We, like, some people use cigarettes. Some people date crappy people. Some people spend money they don't have. Some people eat too much food. Like, we all mm-hmm. have issues. Nobody's perfect, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that obesity doesn't kill people or contribute to a bunch of diseases. But then when I get back, like, well, it's my alternative to bulimia. I literally am like, I don't even, but to me, it feels like they're saying, well, you know what? I was addicted to heroin. I'm off the heroin. And now I smoke cigarettes. And it's like, I get that that's better, but it's still going to kill you.
I think, you know, people, I have experienced similar things, and I think that there's thing about eating disorders is, you know, there's some evidence base, but at least with what we won't call an eating disorder, but certainly with weight loss, weight release, eating disorders that are weight related, there's actually not one evidence base. And that's the really complicated piece of all of it is like one size really doesn't fit all.
Wow.
But I hear what you're saying, right?
I'm just trying to understand
and
it, Molly.
You're saying, don't you want to take the next step?
Yes.
Why would you want to smoke cigarettes when you can have a cigarette free life?
But that's actually exactly what I am trying to say. You're 100% right. I'm like, okay, but like now that we got through that, like that is the next step. You're right. That's what I'm thinking.
People are, you know, and I think, you know, I was a addictions person before I was an eating disorders person, and people get, food is a very primal substance, right? The minute our mother or whomever gave us that food when we were crying, this thing got way more complicated in some ways. I mean, right. I'm not dissing on heroin. Don't get me wrong. But and I think in that way that it isn't heroin, right?
Right.
It's like we can sort of rationalize it in a different way. You know, rationalize breaks down to rational lies. And there's a many communities that support that change not happening.
Yeah.
And I think that my understanding of those communities too is that it's actually not endorsed to release weight. It's not encouraged, and in fact you get kicked out of the community sometimes.
In some groups, like the ones that are going after Adele, and it's like, well, she, you know, I don't even know that is, you're right. Yeah, in some factions. But it's so tough for me. Like I've been talking all month about an article I read in the Huffington Post that made me nuts, because it was like 6 reasons calorie counting doesn't work. And the reason that's so hard for me is because people who come to me and they struggle with weight loss read that and like, oh, it doesn't work. And then they go do crazy shit, right? And you're like, wait, it does. And if you had actually read the article, she tells you that it's like she has a certain type of eating disorder, and it's not working for her mentally. It's harmful for her to be obsessed with a scale, obsessed with numbers. And it's like this line of where it's starting to affect, it's blurring into medical facts. Even like what you said, you're like, nope, obesity is a medical condition. Binge eating is an eating disorder. Not everybody who's obese is a binge eater. And then I was like, oh my God. You know,
I think that
just brought such clarity to me just now, where I'm like, oh my God, well frickin' said, thank you. And can you explain, like, where does, so it's, you're saying it's primal, so it's very tied up in emotion, obviously, right? Like, I've heard things about bulimia, like, we eat our feelings and then we throw them up. Or binge eating is like, we stuff down our feelings. Or is there any merit to that? Like, I've heard that over the years.
I'm a therapist by trade, but there's no science that says that, right? But in the 20 years that I've been an eating disorders therapist, like, is it really emotional? Is there I was in session with somebody yesterday talking to him about his volume, and you would have, you know, I got an armored man who did not want to talk about it at all, right?
Yeah.
And we protect our substance. And I think that that's across the board in all addictions. We protect our substance. And so I think, you know, there's different levels of satisfaction with life. And sometimes, you know, it's cigarettes and not heroin. And, so, you know, that's the value. That's the truth of harm reduction, right? Like sometimes it's heroin and then it's methadone. And you stay on methadone for the rest of your life. And sometimes you're free from everything. And it's brave and it's hard. But I think that sometimes people can really get trapped up in the idea that, and this is always about what it is when we're locked in, right? The cash and prize is on the other side of the hard thing.
Yes.
And there's just a lot of support, I think, for not doing that. A lot of people saying like, yeah, that's great. And I agree, if that is great for you, I'm a relationship person. Like to me, like I'm sort of an outcast in the eating disorders world because I too believe weight release. And I believe actually, if you're in a love relationship with food, then you probably are going to release a whole lot of weight. Right. So you and I are in a very similar camp here. And I get a lot of slack for it.
You do. You get a lot of flack for
it
with the education you have.
Food, and how and what you're eating might not be consistent.
Right. Okay. So I am starting to see this now also in varying degrees everywhere. So apparently I didn't even see the freaking special. So I'm speaking out of my rear end here. I could be wrong. But I was told that in Taylor Swift's Netflix special, she starts to talk about how she had a body image dysmorphia, I guess, where she's, God help me, everybody, I did not watch it. I heard this through the ether. But I guess she says that, like, seeing pictures of herself, like, she'd see Pudge or something and kind of flip out. How is this, is that, are these all caused by something different? Like, is that societal? Like, people, oh, now, you know, because we've used all these super skinny models, that's what she's seeing? Or can this stuff come from everywhere? Like, what is the root of that? How does a girl that's 6 feet tall and stick thin like Taylor Swift look in the mirror and go, oh, I'm pudgy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a perfect storm always, right? Mm-hmm. There's the nature of the person. There's the nature of the environment. I mean, stress can induce so many things. It's the cortisol is so not our friend.
Right.
And so, you know, I didn't watch it either. But,
I know.
You
know, I wish
understand,
I had.
You know, in isolation, right, and having, you know, your body being scrutinized, that could become very contagious. Like, we can start say things enough, we can start to believe it, right? That's like the power of positive thinking in and of itself, right?
That's like an idea pathogen.
It usually comes in, you know, childhood and adolescence is the most prevalent time, but there's no, I've actually seen in my own work that when people release a lot of weight, they sometimes have like some of the symptoms of dysmorphia. I know for myself, I actually took me a really hard time for my kind of head to catch up with my body.
Right. I've heard that a lot. So, how do I stop losing weight? How do I know when I'm done? You know, when do I stop picking myself apart? When do I feel good about my accomplishments? And I mean, I hear that so often. I think we have a question about that, don't we? Is that the friend who's like, my friend has lost a ton of weight? Yeah. How do I know what she's done? All right. Well, speaking of then, I'm going to let Cindy fire off a few of our listener questions that came in for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Well, this is also airing during National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So we have a question from... My name is Catherine. I'm from Australia. I suffered from an eating disorder since I was 12. Mm. I'm now 30. My relationship with food is much better, but I still struggle with over-exercising, sometimes running more than 2.5 hours a day.
Oy vey.
What place do you think exercise has in eating disorder recovery? It's still the only thing that gets my endorphins going.
Oh, yeah. This one's you, Molly.
Yeah. Well,
I defer.
The truth, there's only one piece of data across the board that that matters to me, and that's the data on self-determination, right? That's the data that says, you know, what I own and what I know and when it is really aligned with my truth, those are changes that stick.
Okay.
And I always work to help people find their own truth, right? And really create a relationship with themselves and with food. And so in this question, I will tell you, from a diagnostic perspective, right? I would always look at the function of the exercise. What's the motivation and what's the function? Because if you're exercising for 2.5 hours a day, this is a problem with eating disorders and addictions that look like eating disorders, is that there are so many blind spots. Like, we can really believe our lies. You know, I was like, a delusion is a lie that we believe.
Yes.
And we can get really delusional in them.
Yes.
So I would have to say, like, I would really want her to get to her, like, innermost self and say, like, well, what's the function of this? And if it's compensatory, right? If she's running off her food, that's bulimia. I mean, bulimia is not just sticking your finger down your throat by any means. It's laxatives, it's chewing and spitting, and it is exercise, which, you know, this, I don't know her, but this may be the case. And to start to think about other ways that you can get your endorphins going, that last sentence is actually the most concerning to me, right? Uh-huh. Like, it feels like there's a gun to my head. Like, there's only one way I can get my endorphins, and it's running. Huh. That doesn't feel like a healthy relationship with exercise.
So is this conversation then, like, okay, this isn't, this is, sounds like it's part of the same beast, and some professional help, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I think it's about, like, if you're feeling anxious about not doing exercise, or you're finding exercising is at the expense of other things, and that's a big one with exercise bulimia, right? You're like, yes. Oh, I'm not going to, I'll leave work early so I can get in that extra hour. I won't go on that date because I have to get to my swim, you know, I have to get to my swim or things like that. Like,
wow. All
and, right. And I think truly, like, if I was the clinician here, I would be working to take a complete exercise break and only do light exercise, because the truth is, if you want to know what the underlying source is, and we all want to know what the underlying source is because that's where the solution is. Mm-hmm. You have to stop doing the thing. So in order for this person to ever figure out what the real thing is, instead of being on this, I mean, no pun intended, but this like hamster wheel.
Yes.
We would want to take a break from intense exercise. I love a good walk. I love a good this. And I love to exercise, but,
right,
you know, not at the expense of my life. It's the thing is, I have to say this over and over and over again. It's like addictions and eating disorders really run similar paths. And, you know, what is unacceptable just becomes acceptable. And we don't recognize that that happens.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
100%,
totally.
100%. Cindy, do you want me to take a break here?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. So, Molly, are you okay to stay with us a little longer and answer a few more questions?
Yes, please.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and then we will be right back with more of your questions and Molly Carmen.
When you start your hiring process, you want to find great applicants to choose from, right? You want to know about their education and their experience so you can make the right hire. Well, Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. It's easy to post a job, and you can even use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants super fast. Indeed also has a library of over 50 skills tests you can add to your job posts so you can get a sense of your applicant's abilities. These tests range from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/Jillian and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/Jillian. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. We just had the best sliced ham from Grassroots Farmers Cooperative. I'm not kidding. I didn't even think I liked ham, but this tastes like lean bacon. It's so yummy. And it feels great to support a company like Grassroots Farmers Cooperative. First of all, their animals are 100% pasture raised on small farms across the U.S. So you're supporting local farmers. And since we know factory farming is destroying the planet, Grassroots Co-op is fighting the effects of climate change by practicing regenerative agriculture. They're also the only company in the U.S. where you can trace your meat from pasture to plate, and you can even visit their farms. See for yourself and order Grassroots Co-op right now. They're giving our listeners this fantastic limited-time deal, $40 off plus free shipping. Get the full details and place your order now with this great offer by going to our special URL, grassrootscoop.com/Jillian. So check it out now. That's grassrootscoop.com/Jillian.
Okay, we are back with Molly Carmel, and we have another email question. This is one, Jillian, you were talking about.
Yes.
My best friend has lost 85 pounds. She's amazing. My concern is that she doesn't seem to have an end point in mind.
Right.
She is down to 140 pounds, but she points out her big ankles. How do I know when she's crossed over to only seeing the negative? What are the best indicators of body dysmorphia? What should I be watching for? And when does healthy become obsession?
See, Molly, that sounds kind of like what you were telling me, where like the mind hasn't caught up with the body.
Yeah.
I wonder about this perfection seeking. Like, I've gotten this question so much over the years, and I'm like, hey, stretch mark is a stretch mark. Cellulite dimple is a cellulite dimple. That's not unhealthy. That's a matter of aesthetics. Mm. Like, and I've got all that shit, and it's not my favorite. If you said to me, like, hey, we've got a cellulite cream, like, I would buy it. It doesn't work. If it did work, I'd buy it. I prefer to have no dimples on my ass, but I don't hate myself or go crazy because I have dimples on my ass. You know what I mean? Like, what happens here?
At odds, though, right? There's one side that's like, love every curve, and then there's one side that's like, Photoshop every curve. And so
it's
such a tricky thing. I mean,
oh my God. If you look at my body,
it's like Art Deco, right? Because I've lost 325 pounds. I had some skin cut off at the bottom, but oh my goodness, it is like white lines. And I mean, it's just, and I've done a lot of work to be like, look at this warrior body.
Yes.
But I need to say, I've done a lot of work to do that. 100%. Right? Like, I wasn't like born that way. Mostly I was like, I need to go get this all. And one day I just said, my body has been through so much and it's been so good to me. She's been so good to me. And I need to do nothing but appreciate her. I think there's this piece where I've seen, and this is less evidence-based, more anecdotal. I think sometimes when people have lost that much weight and they finally done it, right? They don't usually, they're not born with a stop mechanism, right? Usually people who have that compulsive overeating piece don't have a stop mechanism. And so sometimes when you flip that switch, you don't have a stop mechanism on the other end. And that compulsive behavior just kind of like switches seats on the Titanic, so to speak. And I think like there is certainly a body dysmorphic piece of this preoccupation with non-existent defects in appearance, right? Like checking yourself in the mirror or like being critical of your body, which is like so much of us. It's like, how much time do we waste doing this? But I think it's a dangerous place to be because, you know, if you want to live a miserable life, if you want to just sign on, then you should be a perfectionist because there's no end in sight. And it doesn't happen that often, but there is a real time where it shifts over to this compulsive not eating or this compulsive exercising or this compulsive need to lose weight. And again, I'm going to go back to what I'll say 1,000 times, which is, what kind of relationship do you want to have with food and with your body and with your life and with yourself? And this doesn't sound close to it.
Well,
so I think it's like coming to terms with that, finding a middle path there.
Yeah, it sounds like her friend was, first she was obsessed with eating a lot, and now she's obsessed with not eating a lot or whatever. But it's like, as a friend watching it happen, I guess she's not really in her friend's head, so she doesn't know where she's at.
Well, you
like,
know what,
what
the
it's becoming.
Best question to ask yourself is if you're in one of these predicaments. I mean, because body dysmorphia is so linked to emotions, you know, to avoiding emotions, things like that.
Oh, wow. So avoiding emotions. Explain.
It's like an emotion. It's an emotion, right? Like, here's the question. The question is,
okay,
if I wasn't obsessing about my body right now,
oh shit, what would I be feeling? Oh my God.
If I wasn't obsessing about my body or my food or my exercise, what would I have to
feel?
Oh
my God, I'd never.
And for these diet drama and trauma veterans like me, like I was on a diet for the better part of 20 years, the most comfortable space for me to be in is, should I eat it? Am I good? What do I weigh? Like that conversation, albeit so unhealthy and so destructive, is like a safe space for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that little piece of skin over there. And so in the absence of thinking about that, what do you have to be feeling or thinking about?
My God. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, I just didn't realize. I always thought it was like self-worth, self-loathing, self-esteem, perfectionist. But it's crazy to me the way you've opened my eyes in this segment. Well, I'm like, how is it possible that I could every day like learn more and be better at something that I've been doing for 20 years? Because this is outside of what I do, because I'm all about, you know, exercise, nutrition. But this is such a huge part of it. And I never knew that. That's wild to me that I never knew that.
Well, and I also think there are skills we can learn to have better emotion regulation. I mean, so a lot of times, if you've been in an eating disorder for a long time, and I mean by eating disorder, I also mean disordered eating, like if you don't fit the criteria, and part of what I'm saying about the noise in the head you're relating to, you know, it's like a lot of us are very emotion phobic. We don't know how to have them. We don't know what to do with them. And so we eat them or we don't eat them. We exercise them. We obsess over them. Meditation is a big one. Like learning how to sit still is a big one because it's not so scary. And there's such a big life on the other side of all of this obsession. It's such a thief.
Right. Holy sh!
And that's why I say to the girl with the exercise, if you really want to know what's wrong, stop exercising for a couple weeks. Yeah. You'll figure it out real quick.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like, my brain is flying apart at the moment. Cindy, you have one more?
This one is somebody who's suffered with depression and severe anxiety for half her life. She's 31. But it's gotten worse, and it resulted in a bit of an eating disorder.
A bit of? Yes. She put a bit of.
I've lost about 10 kilograms over the last 8 months. I went from being a little chubby to skinny. She went from 123 to 103 pounds.
And
she's 5 feet tall.
Okay.
She said what she wants to know how to deal with is the body shaming for being too skinny. And I do understand that people have no problem saying you're so skinny, eat something, and they don't think in terms of.
But then people who are overweight get pissed because they're like, well, you can be unhealthy and skinny. It's like, yeah, absolutely.
But she's saying it makes her feel terrible when they tell her how skinny she looks and she doesn't look good and. She doesn't want food. She doesn't like food. And when people make a big deal of it, she feels really sick and can't eat.
Oh, no.
So she's just struggling with...
God, this stuff is so deep, Molly.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
It's really so close to the heart, you know? It's so close to the heart. And it's such an, you know, everybody has such an opinion on it, right? I actually had to say to my very best friend, like my sister, you're not allowed to make comments about my body anymore.
Good for
you. And then like, we go work out together. She goes, you look amazing. You look so skinny. And I say, no more talking about my body.
Wow.
Because it like kind of messed me up, you know?
Really?
Even though she's saying that, I'm like, well, if she doesn't say it, it's like,
right.
This is really about our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with our bodies, right? And it's like an inside job. And so when we're so easily taken by other people's opinions of us, it's a really hard way to live, right?
And so
to me, this is a skill deficit in interpersonal effectiveness, right? Like what I would work with this person on is learning how to like
say what I said
to my best friend, which is there's no talking about my body, which is hard.
Which
is hard. And I would wonder, I don't know, but I would wonder. So to me, when you're releasing weight in a way that's like really healthy, like really esteemable, you know, you're doing the right thing by yourself and somebody comes and says something to you about it. I don't know. I'm like a little bit of a junkyard dog. So I don't know if this is a universal truth, but you have a quicker way to say back like, hey, I'm fine. I'm healthy. Right? I'm fine. I'm healthy. You don't have to worry about me. I'm great.
Yeah.
Look at me now. But when you're doing it, I'm listening to some of this, right? Like I'm not eating anymore and it's hard. Yeah. I don't like food anymore. I mean, that's the piece where it's like, maybe the concern is actually valid.
Right.
Right. Because if you're really doing the right thing by yourself, you're pretty impenetrable, right?
Because
you're really full of self-esteem because you're doing really esteemable things.
Yeah. You know something? So, you're right. When you're in your truth about something and you're feeling authentic about it, it's hard to sway you 100%.
Yeah.
So if she's feeling like she's doing the greatest thing by herself, then stand in your truth and say, it's none of your business, which is hard to do.
Right.
And you know, and there's certainly skills that we can be more assertive in this world. But I would also, gosh, you know, if everybody, I don't know, I don't know what they're doing, but maybe it's not body shaming. Maybe it's actually concern. And like, believe you me, I've had interventions done on me and it's not me today, right? But like if everybody's saying something and we know that eating disorders come with such blind spots, like maybe they're worried and it's accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you're amazing. It
takes one to know one.
We need to write a book together, I've decided.
Oh, my God.
Actually, you could probably do it all by yourself. But
I mean, company.
Seriously, I want to think about this. Because, like, you have this, the emotional side, you have such a tremendous understanding. And I understand it, but not in these very specific manifestations. And I am no expert in telling people how to deal with this. And here's the problem. People will come and they'll say, you know, They'll try all these crazy diets and I'll say, weight loss is simple. Didn't say it was easy. Because it's not actually a physical problem. It's not. It's most times an emotional one. And this, to me, is 90% of the problem. People will say, oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, even with breaking up with sugar, right? Like, I think breaking up with sugar, if you just go break up with sugar for 66 days, like my book talks about, like, right. That's a diet.
Right.
Unless you're willing to change your relationship with food and with your body and with yourself, then you're going to stick in this roller coaster. Like, no more drama, you know?
No more drama. Guys, get
the
book.
And there's skills, you know? Like, there's ways to solve for this, is what I want to say. All of these problems are solvable.
Breaking up with sugar, I want you guys to get the book. For more information, or if you want, I don't know, are you taking patients? I'm sure you're pretty busy. I'm sure, are you beyond that? You said you were working with a guy, so that's why I thought maybe.
We have an online course coming in May.
Okay, perfect.
So stay tuned.
So we can get that information at mollycarmel.com?
Yep, absolutely.
And that's mollycarmel.com.
It's in the show notes.
You got it.
And it's in the show notes, guys. Molly, thank you for coming back. We love having you, and I would love for this to be a regular thing, Molly.
I'll make it happen.
So, guys, if you want to send questions in for Molly, not just for me, Cindy, what's our email? JillianPodcast@gmail.com. Cindy.
On the spot. Wow.
Oh, God.
See, Jillian doesn't send in a lot of questions herself, so she didn't. She wasn't aware of
goodness.
That.
All righty. Okie dokie. And next time, hopefully, I won't have tuberculosis when we speak. So.
I'll have it by then.
Yes.
We'll all have it.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank
You're amazing.
You.
Have a great day.